In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Laetare, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 21 and reading through to verse 31 as follows. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 279. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, and reads as follows. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let's now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
life everlasting. Amen.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 11 to 28, and reads as follows. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were made priests, were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, it was the job of the priests, the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, to offer up animal sacrifices for the sins of the people. The work of the priests and the animals that they sacrificed symbolized and foreshadowed aspects of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself on the cross for our redemption. It has been the special focus of our Lenten meditations this year to observe how various animals, specifically lambs in the Old Testament, foreshadowed the Savior. And though there are parallels between the work of Christ and the work of the Old Testament priests, our sermon text for today focuses more on differences between the Levitical priesthood and the infinitely greater priesthood of Christ. Let us therefore now, on the basis of our text, focus our meditation upon the following theme. Jesus is the only high priest who can save us. In the first place, we shall consider the point that the priesthood of Christ is different than the Levitical priesthood. And secondly, that our sinless high priest offered one all-sufficient sacrifice to save us. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Four times in our text for today, Jesus is referred to as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You may remember that 3 weeks ago, we had a sermon text from another section of this same epistle to the Hebrews. And there, too, the Savior was described as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Without going into all the details again about why he's described as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, I'll just very briefly mention that Melchizedek was a man who lived at the time of Abraham, who's identified as being both a king and a priest. And like Melchizedek, Jesus is a king and a priest. And neither Jesus nor Melchizedek are at all connected with the tribe of Levi, which is a big difference from all the other priests and high priests in the Old Testament. In Psalm 110, a psalm which David wrote by inspiration of God and which was commonly understood, even by the unbelieving Jews at the time of our text, to be one of messianic prophecy. Jesus the Messiah is declared to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord himself swears to this fact. I'm going to read that verse 4 of Psalm 110 because it comes up multiple times in this text. There we read, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou, the Messiah, art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Now, earlier in the same chapter from which our text is taken, Hebrews chapter 7, various similarities between Jesus and Melchizedek are highlighted. And in our text for today, those similarities between Jesus and Melchizedek are contrasted, shown to be very different than the Levitical priesthood. In the first verse of our text, the point is made that the descendants of Aaron, as part of the Levitical priesthood, were insufficient to save sinners. And that is why a different priest of a different order was required. We read, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" That question is rhetorical. The obvious implication is that the Levitical priesthood could not save sinners, and that is why, exactly why, we needed a different priest, one who would not be just another Levitical priest, a descendant of Aaron. Now, this also means that connected with the conclusion and fulfillment of the ceremonial laws, there was a conclusion, a fulfillment, a replacement, a change in the priesthood. We read in the next verse, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law," meaning those ceremonial laws, which dictated certain things about the Levitical priests. The ceremonial laws have passed away, just as the Levitical priesthood has passed away, having found their fulfillment and perfect end in Christ. Not only was Jesus not a descendant of Aaron, he was not even of the tribe of Levi. Both Jesus' biological mother, Mary, and his foster father, Joseph, were descendants of King David from the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah was never included in the ceremonial laws as being part of the priesthood. Accordingly, our text tells us, "For he of whom these things are spoken," namely Jesus, "pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood." So does that mean the priesthood of Jesus is inferior? By no means. The opposite. It means that Jesus' priesthood is superior, infinitely greater than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus' priesthood is not based on any bodily, carnal commandments concerning lineage. It's based on the deity of Christ, his Godhead, the power of an eternal existence, as this is also testified to by a divine oath in Psalm 110. Our text says, "And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, namely Jesus, who is made not after the law of a carnal, bodily commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Once again, the point is made that the Old Testament ceremonial laws dealing with the Levitical priesthood have been done away with, have been annulled. Those ceremonial laws and the Levitical priesthood could never save anyone. They were important foreshadows of Christ, but they were unprofitable in and of themselves. They couldn't save a single sinner from hell. We read in our text, "For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." The better hope that we have, the only saving hope that we have, is in Christ. He actually does save sinners, in contrast with the Levitical priesthood, which could only foreshadow the salvation provided by Christ. Another difference between the priesthood of Christ and the Levitical priesthood. Only one of those had been established by a divine oath, God himself swearing to it. Again, this is a reference to Psalm 110, verse 4. We read in our text, "And inasmuch as not without an oath," it's a double negative, "not without an oath, he," Christ, "was made priest." So that double negative is just another way of stating the positive. Christ was made a priest with a divine oath. Our text continues, "For those priests," the Levitical priests, "were made without an oath. But this," namely Christ, "with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." That divine oath confirms the superiority of Jesus' priesthood. And it shows the seriousness with which God has established this better testament, this covenant of his saving grace through the perfect priestly work of Christ. Another point of contrast between the Levitical priesthood and the infinitely greater priesthood of Christ. Those who were part of the Levitical priesthood died and were thus unable to continue indefinitely in their priesthood. Of course, Jesus did also die, but he rose from the dead. Jesus lives forever. He continues forever also to function as our high priest, continuing daily to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. Our text declares, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man," Jesus, "because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Though merely human high priests could never save sinners, and though we are completely unable to save ourselves, our text tells us that Jesus is able to save us all. To the uttermost, our text says, which means to the fullest extent, totally and completely. Now we know that Christ purchased salvation for all mankind, and we also know that sadly most humans reject his saving grace. In rejecting the salvation purchased for them by Christ, they are not saved to the uttermost, as our text puts it. Then who are saved to the uttermost? Well, our text answers it by saying, them that come unto God by Christ, true believers. Though we are completely unworthy to come unto him because of our sinfulness, thankfully our text assures us that Christ continuously intercedes for us. Our sins are being continuously forgiven by God for Christ's sake, for the sake of his righteousness, which he is continuously pleading at the right hand of God, thus canceling out all our guilt. Yes, Jesus' work as high priest continues for us daily through his ongoing intercessory work. He is our advocate with the Father. He is our one and only mediator. The Levitical priests in the Old Testament did important work, which God had commanded them to do in the tabernacle and in the temple. And as was already mentioned, that work foreshadowed Christ and his redemptive work. And yet, they and their work are infinitely inferior to Christ and his work. The salvation of sinners could not be accomplished by any of those Old Testament high priests. They themselves were sinners. They needed to be saved. No, the redemption that we needed could only be accomplished by Christ, the sinless Son of God. That's the point made in the next two verses, where we read, "For such an high priest became us," which is an old expression meaning was necessary for us, fitting for us. And he's described this way, "who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." Where our text says that such a high priest became us. The point is exactly this kind of high priest is what we needed. And then our text emphasizes how he's so different than the Levitical priests. Jesus is completely sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Then our text refers to his exaltation at the right hand of God as being made higher than the heavens. In the last verse of our text, the weak, sinful men who were made high priests in the Old Testament are contrasted with the Savior. They needed to make offerings over and over again, first for their own sins, then for the people's. Jesus, one sacrifice, took care of everything. They had sinful weaknesses and infirmities. Christ had none of that. Our text says, "For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." The divine oath of the Lord, again, this is Psalm 110, verse 4, which was written hundreds of years after the ceremonial law was given, that establishes Christ as the greater, the superior high priest. The animal sacrifices performed by the Levitical priesthood could never save anyone. They needed to be repeated over and over again to remind the people of their sinfulness and their need for forgiveness. Jesus, on the other hand, did not offer up a symbol of redemption. He did redeem the world by offering up himself. And that sacrifice did not need to be repeated. Done once for all, for the sins of all people of all time. Indeed, Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist identified him. Obviously, he needed to be a human in order to die. But he needed to be true God for that high priestly work to carry sufficient value to redeem all mankind. On account of Christ's all-sufficient payment for sin, God has given the forgiveness of sins to all people. This promise of the gospel is offered to all. Our gracious Lord has made a gift of his saving grace. We don't have to earn it. We simply receive it by faith. And this faith, whereby we receive God's forgiving grace, is also a work of God, created and sustained in our hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost, working through the gospel. So by the grace of God alone, working through the gospel, you and I have received the promise of God's grace. The promise of forgiveness, redemption, salvation, earned for us by the great high priest who sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross. We can rejoice that this sacrifice was done once for all, does not need to be repeated. We can rejoice that Christ is continuously at the right hand of God, pleading for our redemption, for our forgiveness, continuously applying the benefits of his redemption as a cover for our sins to wash us clean. Every time you sin, your sin is canceled out immediately by the blood of Christ. So ever cling in faith to Jesus, your glorious high priest, and rejoice in his grace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Savior Jesus Christ, make us truly thankful that thou hast earned for us the forgiveness of all our sins by thy perfect life and by thine innocent suffering and death. And bless the offering of thanksgiving which we now place before thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Lord God, we praise thee for all thy mercies and grace. We thank thee that thou hast redeemed our life from destruction and crowned us with thy loving kindness and tender mercies, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Out of thine unspeakable grace and mercy, thou didst give thine only begotten Son to be made sin for us, to suffer for our transgressions, so that we might have everlasting life. We thank thee for delivering us from the bondage of the law into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, evermore having access boldly to thy throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And as thou, O Lord, art mindful of the necessities of all people, make us sensible of thy divine providence and enable us to receive thy rich bounties with joy and thanksgiving. O Lord, keep us in health, to the end that we may serve thee in this life and in the world to come, through him who is the bread from heaven, even Christ Jesus, our Savior. Graciously provide us with men whose hearts are filled with the earnest desire to serve thee as pastors of Christian congregations in our conference, and to be trained for such service in our seminary, that we may never be without pastors, but that a future ministry may always be provided for us and for our children after us. Continue to uphold Pastor Leeds in body, mind, and spirit. Cause his current afflictions to serve his good and the good of his flock. If it be thy will, grant him the strength to continue serving thee and his congregation in the pastoral office to which thou hast called him, that thy people may continue to be edified by thy precious means of grace. Give our families thy Holy Spirit, that all our children may be brought to thee in holy baptism and grow in Christian knowledge and understanding through godly parents, who by pure love and a good example maintain their homes in peace and in wholehearted respect for thee and thy word. For all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or spirit, we pray. We especially remember before thy throne of grace our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Give them the strength that shall enable them to bear their crosses with patience and joy in the gospel. In our Savior's glorious name and for his kingdom's sake, we ask these things, and in his name we furthermore pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Almighty and everlasting God, who has given thine only begotten Son into suffering and death, that in our stead he might render satisfaction to the law and to thy divine justice, we most heartily beseech thee, graciously keep us henceforth from seeking our own righteousness by the works of the law, and enable us through godly sorrow over our sins and in true faith to put our trust solely in the merits of Christ Jesus, that by thy Holy Spirit the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 5 of hymn 342.